Star 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be we're supposed to be the views of Bob Chapman, but he sent an email, said he wasn't feeling very well, and so he was supposed to do the afternoon program, not the evening program. He hasn't called yet. Maybe he's gotten worse. So it's got to be open lines, and I welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We're right here, and of course we'd love to hear from you, hear the things that you're concerned about. But let me talk about, I think, the swine flu scare, because of course day after day, why you turn on your television or you listen to the mainline radio or you pick up your newspapers or you pick up your news magazines and you hear about the dreaded swine flu. Why, certainly over in England, why, of course, there was an article said that, you know, they're planning on mass graves. There's just not going to be enough graves for individuals. They're going to have mass graves and where they can just throw the bodies in. There are going to be so many bodies. And certainly this will be done where, of course, there's shortages of graves in the graveyards. They're making recommendations that when the swine flu epidemic hits and there's so many people who are dying, you know, that you are not going to be sufficient graves. If there are going to be any ceremonies, burial ceremonies or memoriams, that you cut them short because there are going to be so many of them, because so many people are going to die in Great Britain of the dreaded swine flu. And certainly here in America, we're told, of course, that the new epidemic can strike at any time, and it's just coming. Everybody's got to take this vaccine. My goodness, if they don't, millions and millions and millions of people are going to get infected, and millions of people are going to die, and especially children are going to die. And, well, of course, the statistics don't show that children are dying, at least not normal children. In fact, to date, you know, with this terrible epidemic, as of about 3 days ago, only 522 Americans had died, and 80% of those had other serious medical conditions. In other words, this is not a real major problem. If you consider that we lose 36,000 people every year from influenza, that's what the CDC tells us, if we're losing 522 people from this dreaded epidemic, and 80% of them have a serious illness, that means that certainly far less than 100, were healthy people. And certainly we lose an awful lot of people from a lot of conditions. But this is not a major problem. So why are they propagandizing it the way they are? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I'd like to know what you think about the swine flu epidemic and the fact that they're talking about mandatory vaccination. They're talking about bringing the military in, of course, to protect our people from a non-existent threat, because this is a very mild disease. In fact, we have articles coming out from the Secretary of Health and Education and Welfare who says this is a very mild disease. I mean, most people will have a little snuffy nose, but most people are not deathly ill from this. In fact, if you look and see, a lot of people don't even know they have the disease. They don't even have a temperature. They may have a little sore throat. They may have a little aches and pains, and it passes very transiently. And certainly millions of people have contracted the disease. In fact, I suspect most people have already contracted the disease. They're not trying to find that out, because if they found out most people had the disease, how would they justify having spent $8 billion already for the swine flu vaccine that they want to give to every American citizen? Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and certainly we are doing open lines today because our regularly scheduled guest hasn't shown up. And so we're going to start off talking about the dreaded swine flu that supposedly threatens the lives of American people, and especially American children and pregnant women, because they are by far the most vulnerable as far as the epidemic. And night after night, day after day, afternoon after afternoon, morning after morning, why we hear on television, on radio, we read in the newspapers, we read in news magazines about the dreaded swine flu that is going to actually attack our nation and begin and killing, well, we don't know how many people, but if the virus should mutate, it could kill millions of people, if it could mutate. But the problem is, if the virus mutates, then the vaccine that we've actually put out $8 billion for so far wouldn't work. It's not going to work on a mutated virus, so why are we having all of this thing? Because right now, the swine flu is not a serious illness. We have articles certainly coming out of the government to say it's a very mild illness. Only a very, very few people have died in the United States, and only a very few people have died throughout the world. We have had 522 deaths as of a couple of days ago from a swine flu. 80% of them had other serious illnesses that predisposed them to death. So that means 522, we've had just a little over 100 cases die in the United States who did not have, were healthy people, and most of them were between 24 years of age and 64 years of age, because it looks like the older population has immunity to this disease, but they're not telling the American people that. And certainly, apparently there's a fair number of pregnant women have been hospitalized, but very, very few pregnant women have died. And yet they want to give an experimental vaccine, not one shot, but three shots, two of the swine flu shots and one of the regular shots, loaded with mercury, to pregnant women, when every one of those shots will stimulate the immune system in the woman and in the child and destroy the child's brain. And if you haven't seen our DVD on vaccines and brain development, you need to get the information and you need to help us get it out. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you agree, if you disagree, if you're trembling in fear about swine flu, or if you know that it's a scam, as I do. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. We're doing open lines this afternoon, so if you're out there in the listening audience and you want to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And my assessment, having studied this and having read the material, suggests that there's another agenda behind what's going on, because swine flu is simply a very mild flu that has killed relatively few people throughout the world. And all of the hype that's being put into this is to frighten the American people into taking a totally unnecessary vaccine, exactly as they did back in 1976. Where they told people about this deadly swine flu, and of course one person had died and four people were ill. They ended up vaccinating 44 million people. According to Mike Wallace, contrary to everything you'll read today, but you can actually see Mike Wallace in a 60-minute presentation at NVIC.org. That's NVIC.org. National Vaccine Information Center.org website. Scroll down until you get to the part on the 1976 swine flu. Mike Wallace says, and this was made back in 1978, 1979, before people had forgotten what happened, 300 people died of a non-existent epidemic. Hundreds, and we estimate at least 500 came down with an ascending paralysis, Guillain-Barré, and many of them were permanently paralyzed because of the swine flu vaccine that was given for a non-existent epidemic. Well, we've got George calling from Rochester, New York. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And ladies and gentlemen, you have got to get this information and get it out to save the lives of your friends and your family. George, how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, go ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Can I ask you a question? I'm in Rochester, New York, and you just had a guy on talking about masonry
a minute ago.
And I wanted to ask a question about that.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
I've read some of Manly P. Hall's stuff, and I just was reading a book online called Fire and Ice about the Brotherhood of Hood of Saturn.
I don't know anything about that, but I do know Manly P. Hall, so go ahead.
Okay. I have a fascinating question, and I'd like you, I know that you're very knowledgeable about the Bible and theology and philosophy and ancient history.
Well, I mean, I'm not an expert on any of those things, but I know a little bit about a lot of things. But go ahead, George.
Okay. Well, I've read your Radio Liberty newsletter for the last couple years, and I've listened to your show, and you do present a lot of information that's accurate and honest and not available in the mainstream. So, anyway, I wanted to ask: have you heard of the old story, the Greek story of Prometheus?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Okay. He gave mankind knowledge and the knowledge of fire, and Zeus was extremely upset and chained him down to the side of a mountain. Okay? Are you with me so far?
Sure. I'm, go ahead.
Okay. Now, the Brotherhood of Lucifer, or the Luciferians, and Manly P. Hall reference the Garden of Eden, and they reference Lucifer, or the serpent, as doing a favor to mankind by giving mankind the knowledge of good and evil, and they compare him to Prometheus.
Right.
And that is their justification for their entire philosophy. So I was wondering what your comments on the fact that the serpent was actually the friend of humans, that they were held in bondage by Yahweh, and Yahweh kicked them out of the garden disciplined them for getting knowledge.
Well, you see, that is the basic Luciferian belief. They believe that there are two gods. There is the God of the Bible, and then there's the real good God, and that's Lucifer. And Lucifer gives you freedom. I mean, certainly the God of the Bible, he's a killjoy. He says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. I mean, he has all these restrictions. Whereas Lucifer gives you total freedom. You can do whatever you want to. That is their slogan.
Not the question I was asking.
But basically, I'm leading up to that.
Okay.
And, of course, the thing is that basically, they believe that Lucifer is the true God. And they worship Lucifer, and certainly Manly P. Hall, and many of the occultists actually worship Lucifer. There are literally millions of people in America today who worship Lucifer, and I personally believe that this is crazy, because if you have people do whatever they want to do, you end up with moral anarchy, which is what we have today, and Luciferianism is the foundation of our current society, and I think it's abhorrent.
Okay, how would you?
You want to know how this ties into Prometheus?
How would you undermine their argument that the serpent in the garden actually did a favor to mankind by teaching them knowledge, or the knowledge of good and evil?
Well, basically, of course, that is totally fallacious. It's led to what we have is evil today that's taken over our society. Basically, what the serpent promised them was that if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall be as God, and you shall never die. That was his message. And that's why so many of them believe in reincarnation. They don't worry about death, because they figure they're going to come back again. And, of course, they think it's this just wonderful to be able to do whatever you want to do. And I think it's terrible. I certainly disagree. I do not believe we can do whatever we want to, or we end up with the society we have today. Freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do. Freedom is the ability to...
I agree with you 100% there. If you can't have a culture or a society if everyone does what they want to do. It'll break down overnight.
Freedom is
my question is specifically the allegory or the relationship between the story of Prometheus from the old Greek legends and that comparison to the scene in Genesis 3.
Well,
that is my question.
Well, the question is that I believe that this is their theory, and it's entirely wrong. Freedom is the ability to do what you should do according to God's rule. Now, you have to understand that this whole idea of Prometheus, that this whole idea Prometheus was died and burned and then came back from the ashes, that's the story you're talking about?
Yes.
All right, fine. Well,
Zeus was extremely upset with him. That was
basically the philosophy when America was founded by the occultists. If you go into the background of the Great Seal of the United States, why, of course, the bird on the Great Seal was not an eagle. It was a phoenix, and it was basically the phoenix bird, which was what Prometheus was. And basically, America was to be the phoenix. We were to rise from the ashes and bring this one world government, reconstitute lost Atlantis. That was the theory of the Rosicrucians and the Masons who were here when America was created. So basically, I totally disagree with her idea that God did it, that Lucifer did us a favor by telling us we could do whatever we wanted to do.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
No. My question is the relationship between the story of Prometheus and the serpent granting humankind the knowledge, or gnosis, or knowledge of good and evil.
All right, fine. Well, basically, you don't obviously like my answer, but basically, of course, I do not. I believe it was a terrible thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. It's led to all the problem we have today. And this idea, of course, Prometheus was going to rise again and bring freedom to mankind, well, that's, of course, all ties into exactly what's going on today, and they gradually evolved the phoenix bird on the back of the front of the seal of the Great Seal of the United States, and they gradually evolved it through the years into an eagle because they did not want the American people to understand the mystical significance of what's going on today. I'm sorry I can't answer your question better than that.
Well, I agree with you on most of the points that you just said, but thank you very much for your answer.
All right, fine. Let's go to Kent, who's calling from West Virginia. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Kent. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Stan. I just thought I listen to International Shortwave in the evenings, and at the same time in the evening, you can get Sweden and Vietnam, and last week they were both talking about the swine flu vaccines. You know, so those are pretty separate, different countries, and geographically and every other way.
They want to give it to people all throughout the world, and of course, is this just to make money? Does this have to do with the fact they're going to put squalene in it, which is a deadly adjuvant? That's what they put in the first Gulf War vaccine that caused at least a third of our boys to contract autoimmune disease, and well over 10% of them are already dead, or at least no longer living. That's the phrase that they use in the Veterans Administration report. I think that this may very well have to do with population control. But why are they doing this? I mean, if you look at the statistics, I mean, there have been 1,400 and I think 50 cases throughout the entire world. I mean, you know, 3 or 4 cases in India, a nation of 1.2 billion people, you know, half a dozen cases in Africa. What's this all about? Oh, my goodness, we got a grade 6 pandemic. Everybody's got to take the swine flu. A pandemic with 1,450 at the most patients throughout the world. It's the greatest scam of all time, Kent.
Oh, I agree with you. And Sweden went on. They went on the comment that they said that although there hadn't been any major outbreaks in Sweden, unlike in England and everything, you know, it still dominated the media and people's conversation. I thought that, you know, they're just like talking about something that doesn't even exist.
Well, the thing is, basically, the media throughout the world is controlled. Fortunately, you can get information on the Internet from other countries, but the media, the mainline media in the United States and Great Britain and Sweden and all of these countries is controlled. That has always been the plan. You go back and read the book written by Abbe Borel, you know, on the Jacobins, written in the 1790s, somewhere in there, and he will tell you that the major thrust of the Illuminati and the Jacobins and the secret societies was to gain control of the publishing and the media. They didn't have radio and television at that time, but they control the media at that time. They control the media today. And our job is to circumvent that. That's why I do what I do. Hey, Kent, stay on the line. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Give us a call on swine flu or anything else you'd like to talk about. You're right ahead, Kent.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's amazing. I listen to all the various European, you know, Germany, Sweden, and Britain, and all of them, and then Australia, New Zealand, Canada. They all, when it comes down to a certain topic, they all fall in line, you know. And you can almost say, well, they're reading from the same script. The only country I found consistently different is Spain. Spain seems to have an independent view on things. I don't know why that is.
Well, I appreciate some. We've got a regular scheduled guest here. Bob Chapman's on the line. But anything else you'd like to say before I let you go?
No, thanks.
Hey, thanks very much for calling, and let's go to Bob here. Hi, Bob. I was beginning to worry about you. Thanks very much for calling.
Well, thank you. And I had a DSL problem.
All right,
Unfortunately, fine. Unfortunately, only lasted 15 minutes. So.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, of course, the other thing is, are you feeling any better?
Yeah, I'm coming along.
All right, fine. Of course, we hope that you will continue improving. And anyway, of course, these are exciting times. I always look forward to your analysis of what's happening financially across the world. And my gut feeling is that they're trying to tell us that things are getting better, but we're in the eye of the hurricane. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's certainly a good way to put it. I notice Americans want to change, and they're going to get it. The government has said that they're not going to raise COLA, cost of living allowances,
right,
which is the method of raising the value for payout of pensions and Social Security. And, of course, we all know that inflation is not less than zero, irrespective of their figures. And it's another thing for people to get very, very irate about. And I think it's going to be another hot iron in the fire, just like we saw at the town meetings and the vitriolic that spewed from the public regarding the health care situation. And it's not stopping. It's continuing. And there's meetings going on all over the country with or without politicians. And that's going to continue. It's not going to stop.
Well, I certainly hope it's not going to stop. I think it's great that the people at long last are getting upset about what's going on. And, of course, the politicians are scared to death that the people are going to remember how they voted on this. And they'll probably have all sorts of votes so they can say, oh, see, I was really against words, actually. They voted for it. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, I mean, I was reading, and I'm not sure whether it was in your publication or someplace else, that, you know, one of the congressmen was saying that, you know, because of the marked decrease in funds coming into Social Security, because there's so many people are out of work and they're not getting the money in to this Ponzi scheme, that in a couple of years, why there won't be enough money coming in to pay out for Social Security. It couldn't help but wonder if the reason they're going to do it with coal is they're trying to get a little money ahead, because within a couple of years, why, it's got to be just like Bernie Madoff, and they're going to have to say, oh, shucks, fellas, we stole all the money, and we spent it on ourselves. There is no Social Security fund, and we don't have enough coming in. We're bankrupt. Was that your newsletter or somebody else's?
Yeah, and it's pretty much guaranteed now. Since
hold that thought, because I really want our audience to hear that. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're fortunate we have Bob Chapman with us, who is our regularly scheduled guest. And actually, Bob had had some problems with his phone, so we're lucky to have him with us. But I was asking Bob, I'd read in his newsletter that one of the congressmen was commenting that Social Security is in real trouble. Now, basically, Bernie Madoff had a scheme, you know, he actually paid out, you know, his benefits to the people through the money that was coming in on a regular basis from new investors. That's the way Social Security works. They actually take the money in, they pay the money out, and then supposedly they were supposed to have a Social Security fund, but they stole all the money just like Bernie Madoff did. But the system works as long as you get enough money in to cover your outgo. You got to have an income to cover your outgo. But because of the decrease in number of people paying into Social Security, so many people have lost their jobs, and we're dealing with somewhere between 25 and 30 million Americans who are either unemployed or underemployed. They're not getting enough money in from Social Security, and if something doesn't happen in a couple of years, why, Social Security will not have enough money to pay out. And what are your thoughts on that, Bob?
Well, since its inception, the monies that came from Social Security went in the general fund. The same is true with Medicare. And the same is true with the bank contributions for FDIC. Most people don't know that. So all the money's been spent. Now, they have credits in there. How much, you know, remains to be seen. I know that the FDIC here in a couple of days is going to come out with their position. And, you know, it's, they're probably going to have $5 or $10 billion or something. And if you took just 1% of all the deposits in the country, you would need $700 billion to insure that 1% by the FDIC. So you can see what a misnomer the whole thing is in the first place. It was generated to bring confidence to the system, and now too many people know what kind of a Ponzi scheme it is. But I think unless, and this is really what is taking place. It was almost a year ago that a House committee, and I don't know the name of the House committee, had hearings, and it was how to save Social Security. And testimony was given. But the most shocking testimony was that Congress and others want to roll all the retirement plans into Social Security in order to continue to fund it. Now, if they're out of money, that's what they'll do. Now, I haven't seen any rambunctiousness within committee. There's no steam coming out of there yet. But the minute I see steam coming out, and the minute I see that there is a possibility of that bill, whatever it may be called, coming to the floor of the House, then I would think that at that time, I would probably tell our subscribers that they had best liquidate what retirement plans that they had. Now, some you can't because of the way you're tied in. Like if you're 25 or 45 or 50 years old, you can't do that unless you quit. A lot of people would quit, you know, to get their $75,000 or $750,000 or whatever it is. And some of these IRAs and pension plans, individuals have a lot of money in them. So on the horizon, that's a distinct possibility, and it would be a way out for them. So if they come around in about a year and say, hey, at the end of the year there won't be any money there, and so we're going to have to legislate something, you better get out of your retirement as fast as humanly possible. And of course, for our subscribers, we'll have the information in there and say, it's time. Get out. Well, pay the penalties, pay the taxes.
Isn't this, in essence, what Argentina did? Didn't they simply seize all the pension funds because they needed money?
Yeah, but they didn't let anybody know it was by presidential edict.
Right. And, of course, the
thing is... In the United States, I think you're going to see legislative action, and Congress is bought and paid for, so if they're going to do it, it'll happen.
And, of course, the thing is the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation that benefits private pension funds is bankrupt. I think they're underwater by $30 billion. And the FDIC, if you look at the real figures and all the things they've guaranteed, they're way underwater. And so they're basically bankrupt. But they can't tell the American people this. They can't tell the American people the truth. That realize that Bernie Madoff is not the only fellow who's run a Ponzi scheme and should be in prison. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapin. And, Bob, you picked the story up from there.
So that's more unpleasant news. And there's a lot of changes that they're going to try to effect. And the House of Representatives in particular know that the public is really irate. But, you know, I don't really think they care. You know, they're getting paid off by big business, and even if they lose their job, these big business corporations will take care of them. They'll get them a job in some foundation or whatever. You know how it works. So I don't think they're going to react. Now, we did see a reaction. 282 co-sponsors on 1207, the legislation to audit and investigate the Federal Reserve. That was very, very surprising. Of course, they get a bottled-up committee. Whether it'll come out or not remains to be seen. But the point is that there are things that they will react to. And with that number of people, and probably more, who will vote for the issue, if voted upon, that's enough to override a veto. And so the Illuminati, the Brotherhood of Darkness, have to be quaking in their boots if this thing gets passed. They got to be very, very concerned. And I know I talked to someone who was at one of those town hall type of meetings just a couple of nights ago, and the fellow who interrogated Bernanke from Florida, Grayson, he was there, and all the questions were about the medical plan.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapin from the International Forecaster. And, Bob, before we go on, I want you to get out your telephone number, your website. Tell people how they could subscribe to the International Forecaster. It's a wonderful source of the information you're not going to get elsewhere.
The forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesday and Saturday, usually around 35 or 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. You can get a free introductory copy by doing one of three things. Go to our site, and that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R.com. You can email us at Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com, Bob at intforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188, and you get a free copy. And if you like it, maybe you'll want to become a subscriber.
All right, fine. Well, it's always got great information. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Bob, this is the time. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And Bob, certainly the banks are closing. Now they've closed their 80th bank. Certainly Meredith Whitney talks about a lot more banks being closed. That they have all this talk about how well the banks are doing. Really, of course, is a cover for the banks. Most of our banks are bankrupt. And, of course, banking is the very foundation of the type of society we have. It shouldn't be. We should have a free society with a stable currency, but where everything is built upon credit. And when credit isn't there, why, of course, businesses shut down and factories shut down and farmers can't borrow money. And, of course, then the whole society begins to collapse. And that's exactly what they intend. They know what they're doing, but they want, of course, to impoverish our people, to send our wealth overseas. And here when we're having to borrow money on a regular basis, about $3 or $4 billion a day, what are we doing? Why, we're giving foreign aid all throughout the world. We've got a military stationed in 131 nations. We've got 750 military bases throughout the world. Why would you do that when you're having to borrow money? Pick this story up, Bob.
I will. There's two things. One thing I want to answer. So the person who was at the town hall meeting was the only one, and I have it in the coming issue, he sent me a note on what happened, that asked about 1207 in the Federal Reserve. And Grayson said, oh, I'm so glad you asked. He says, you know, all the talk is about the health care plan, but he says, I want you all to know that I was the first co-sponsor. So I had to put that recommendation in for the gentleman. Anyway, Meredith Whitney said 300 banks will go over. I don't know whether she meant next year or in total or whatever. You're right. The major banks are all bankrupt. There's a lot of others as well. What is being done here is twofold. Number one, probably between 3,000 and 4,000 banks are going under. This is not going to happen tomorrow. It'll happen over the next 5 or 6 years. And, of course, the big banks will be saved because they've all been given piles of money. No money for Social Security, but plenty of money for the banks. And so the other thing that they're up to, not only with banks buying banks, but now we have private equity groups buying banks. We have foreign banks buying American banks. And that's going to continue. It's a consolidation of fascist power, not only nationally but internationally. And that's part of what this is all about.
And what you're really seeing is the transfer of the wealth of the American people, what's remaining of it, to these people of great wealth through the Brotherhood of Darkness. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And the only way to protect yourself is with gold and silver-related assets. If you don't have them, you get no hope. And, you know, I told people about the top of the dot-com market. We get out everybody out at the top. I called the top, and I was the only one on the real estate market. Call the top on that. And then I call the top on the market at 14,100 Dow. And I call 6,600 as the interim bottom, and that's exactly where it won. And so I think we're looking at a long evolution, and we will have hyperinflation, And then when they want to pull the plug, when they've got, you know, several more large wars going, or one big one for that matter, that's when they'll go into deflationary depression. And it's going to happen, and it's going to happen throughout the world. There's going to be chaos. Probably half the nations of the world, their governments will be overthrown. And that is possible in the United States as well. And we're going to see some things we would have never dreamed of.
Well, I think we're living in very, very dangerous times. Let's go to David, who's calling in for Vermont. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And David, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I had a question about the second bank. When the second bank of the United States was abolished during Jackson's term, we didn't have a central bank. How did the country survive and prosper through many decades between that time and the time that the Federal Reserve came in?
All right, that's a very legitimate question. How did America survive? They did close down the second bank of the United States. It actually was been closed down, certainly. It became a private bank, I think, about 1837, and then, of course, it eventually went bankrupt in 1841. But then we had a period, certainly from about 1836 up until 1913, without a central bank. How did America prosper during that time?
The monetary responsibilities of the country were taken over by the U.S. Treasury, which they always had that power under the Constitution. And so that's how it was done.
And we did.
And
have
that's what we want to revert it to, because we'll get more transparency than you would with a privately owned Fed that won't even tell federal courts what it's doing. They say we don't have to take a hike.
Well, I think the thing is that certainly, David, what we did during that time, you had state banks, and the state banks could create credit too. But at least they couldn't all conspire together to take over the government and to rig the market. And they had to act responsibly, because if they had a run on their bank and they let out too much money, created too much credit, and they couldn't, of course, refund the money of the depositors, they went off to Huskauer or run out of town on a rail and all covered with tar and feathers. So believe me, banks acted responsibly because they were answerable to the states. But we have a situation today where we have a central bank that is above the government, that really runs our economy and is owned by the central banks. And so basically now they want to give the Fed, which is owned by the central banks, more control over banking. We live in a world gone mad. Anything else, David?
Yes. So at this point, We only have a central bank. We have no state banks. We have only private banks and commercial banks, and no so-called state banks. Is that correct,
Bob?
You have state chartered banks.
So we have a few, and they are not part of the Federal
Reserve
System.
They don't belong to the FDIC system, nor to the federal system under the Fed.
They're not very many, but they're there, and God bless them for being there. They actually have a state bank, and I think it's in North Dakota. They do not have a recession there. They got plenty of money to lend. But they're not in on the scam with the big banks that want to destroy our economy. That's the difference.
I have one final question. Did AIG have anything to do with the FDIC? And then I'll hang up now. Thank you.
All right. What about the AIG? That's the American Investment Group. That's Hank Greenberg's group, and they've really scammed the public. I mean, they've transferred billions of dollars to their insiders. What's the relationship of that to the Fed?
Well, he said the FDIC.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And as far as I know, none.
Because they're not a bank. They're not a bank.
No, it's not a bank.
Right. And so
it wasn't before. And the relationship with the Fed was non-existent, except they were on speaking terms, and they all knew each other because Greenberg was one of the top people in the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, so these guys were all in bed together.
Right.
And the AIG was a front for the CIA and the OSS before it for years and years. And so that's why it was saved. And besides that, they had written naked derivatives to the tune of $105.4 billion. And that money was funneled through AIG to the people who had been sold these derivatives that AIG could not pay for. And the American taxpayer paid AIG's bill.
$185 billion being
funneled. No, $105.4.
$105.4?
Yeah, and they wouldn't tell anybody what they were doing. About 6 months ago, and all of a sudden the news came out that they were laundering money through there. And who was the big one to get bailed out? About 13 or 11 billion? Goldman Sachs. And J.P. Morgan Chase, and on and on. But we don't have any money for Social Security.
I wonder why. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Love to hear, you know, your questions for Bob, because basically we are facing the worst economic crisis, some people say, in 200 years, some people say in 300 years. What do you think about that?
Well, I think internationally in the last 500 years, in America, the biggest ever. By far, far, far. I mean, we can go back to the collapse of the Hanseatic League in the early 1600s, which almost took the Medici Empire down. And if you want to skip back a couple of centuries before that, you can go to the collapse of the Lombard system in 1348, the year of the plague, which nowadays is significant in as much as we got government planning to kill off half the people in the world.
And I really think that people really need to understand history, and of course you need to understand the Medici's and it's, you know, there in Florence and what happened time and time. There's nothing new under the sun. These things have happened time and again. They never work, and our leaders know that. Somebody called and asked, why are they letting all the immigrants into the country? Well, our country is in such financial difficulty. That's a good question. Why are we letting them in and giving them welfare and food stamps and free medical care and subsidized education here in California? Why are we encouraging people to come into our country illegally?
Well, I think it's because Stan needs inexpensive gardeners.
We don't have an inexpensive gardener. I wish we did.
No, it's because they want people who come in to be nationalized into American citizens, and then they can collect taxes from them, and that'll fill that gap. That's why they got to get immigration legislation within the next 2 years to start pouring money into Social Security and into revenue to offset the interest they have to pay on the debt. And of course, another reason for these wonderful free market corporatists is they get slave labor. And so those are the two main reasons.
Well, I think people have to understand the reason aren't there any jobs because there's no credit available. You can't borrow money to start a business. And certainly people are not going to invest in businesses because these are uncertain times. And so if you can't borrow money and people don't have the money to be investing and starting businesses, there are not going to be any jobs. And I think we're going to lose a lot more jobs. And as long as there are no new jobs, why, of course, we're going to continuing endangering Medicare and Social Security. And certainly one of these days they're going to run out of welfare benefits. Already Medicare is costing more than it's taking in. That's why they're so desperate to do something about it. They already have their death boards. You know, Sarah Palin's been going around talking about their death boards, and everybody's saying it isn't true. It was in the stimulus bill. It was in the stimulus bill. It's already the law of the land, and there's now one person in 1,000 who knows about it.
And that's true. And that means that you and I and our wives are probably going to be first in line to get exterminated.
Right. Well, of course, basically, they want these private boards, government boards, to actually be able to determine who will live and who will die and what treatments will be available to older people. When they will tell you, you know, certainly most of the cost of health care for people during their lifetime is during the final years of life. Now, I was never smart enough as a physician to know when the final years of life were coming, but they are, and I can tell you when they start withholding food and water, that's the final years of life. Or you send it to a hospice and they give you large doses of morphine to ease your suffering, even if you're not suffering, even if you're not terminally ill. And they do that in America today. Do not go to the hospice. In fact, in Denmark, it's said that a lot of people, older people, are afraid to go to the hospital because they're afraid they'll be killed. That is the morality in what was once a wonderful and free nation.
You're right, and I've seen that among older people, even in my own family, and they killed him.
Well, let's go to David calling from Ohio. Hi, David. How are you doing?
Just fine, sir. Yourself?
Doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, sir. You know, with the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency, 64-67% around the world, how in the world would the smartest bankers on earth hold a bankrupt dollar as a reserve currency and hope to keep the fact that these people's misery and suffering is directly related to, you know, their own bankers as well as our bankers?
You know, I think they're going to get away with it, and they're part of the Illuminists, or they're afraid, they're taking orders from them to do what they want to do, and that's why you have 64.5% in dollars.
Do you actually really think that they are going to get away with this?
No, I don't think they're going to get away. What I think they'll do is they'll devalue the dollar, and they'll default, and everybody else will devalue and revalue at the same time, and everybody else that has to default will.
But at what point does the whole system fall apart? At what time?
Well, when they want it to.
Okay.
And that'll happen in 2 or 3 years, maybe longer. We got to be patient. And be happy it hasn't fallen yet.
But I think the important thing is that people have to understand that they are eventually going to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. Well, David, you've got, do you have another question? No, we lost David. Now, that means, Bob, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program for our listeners today.
Well, I think, I just saw the latest Rasmussen. And for those who don't know, it's a survey. And it's scientific, very well thought of. And from 67, in, what is it, the 21st of January, our president, Barry Satoru, now has a 41 rating. And I predicted, because of all of the trouble he was going to run into with all of this legislation, that what would happen is that he would have a 40 by September or October, and I'm going to be bang on. And the only president that's gone down that fast is Jimmy Carter, and we all know what happened to him. So maybe our president might get the swine flu or something, or maybe they might find a way to get rid of him, and I think that's going to happen.
Well, but what a frightening thing to think of Joe Biden as president. And of course, basically, both of them are simply tools of the establishment. Neither one of them are allowed to act independently. I mean, certainly the Trilateral Commission controls the Obama administration just like it's controlled all of the other administrations. There's not one American in 1,000 who realizes what's happening.
Well, that's true. And but the American people are waking up. And we can't give up on it. We got to keep on fighting. We don't want to, you know, lose on our knees. And if you don't fight for your freedom, then there's something wrong with you. Maybe you deserve not to have it.
Well, that's the thing. If people aren't willing to stand up for the freedom, they're going to lose it. And you've been fighting for a long time. I have as well. And I really do believe that all across America, that more and more people are finding out what's going on. I think you're doing a great job. How many hours of radio are you doing every week?
Well, it runs anywhere by 25 to 38.
Well, and, you're the only person who does more talk radio than I do.
Well, I'm happy when I get a 25-hour week. At least I get a little respite. But, you know, I'll have 25 to 50. And these are mainline stations, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, who asked me to come on.
Well,
I know how they find out about me. And I don't know how they let me say what I say.
Well, you keep doing it, Bob. We're out of time. God bless. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoy our weekly conversations with Bob Chapman here on the Genesis Network. Of course, this is the time I need to remind all of our listeners that on the 25th of October, we're having an all-day conference at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We're going to be serving a luncheon, so we have to have reservations, have to know how many people are going to be there. Kind of start early in the morning and go to late in the afternoon, late in the evening. I think we will complete about 5:30. We're going to be out of the room at 6:30, and we're going to open the doors at 7:30 in the morning, so we do hope that you'll come. And, of course, bring others, and we're going to have Dr. Catherine Albrecht, William Grigg, Tom Horn's going to be there. We're going to bring in Ashley Moat from Europe. He's a member of the European Parliament. It's going to be a great day, and you're going to have an opportunity to hear things and learn things you have never heard or learned before. So remember, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you want to understand what's going on financially, why first you need to get my talk. First of all, on the financial tsunami, we gave it probably three to four years ago, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. It explains all the terms, explains what was going to happen, and it's all come about just according to plan. Our most recent talk on the financial Armageddon goes into how they created the financial chaos that we're facing today. It goes into who really runs the government and the banking system, and who put Barack Obama in the presidency. And, of course, you'll be fascinated by the information you're going to get there, because nobody else is going to tell you what we will tell you. As they say, fools rush in where angels fear to tread, but we believe we have to get the information out, because America and freedom is hanging by a thread today. Well, then, of course, we do hope you want to get the great book we have, written by Thomas Wood. It goes into the understanding of the finances of what's going on today, and why everything that is being done is wrong. And that, of course, would be certainly the book Meltdown. That's Meltdown by Thomas Wood for the von Mises Institute. We actually have a book written in 1899 by an attorney named Walter, who actually wrote about how the major banks were at war, the coming crisis, I think, is the title of the book. But basically, how the great banks were going to take control of our government. And then, of course, we have a book written in 1935 by Gertrude Coogan about the money creators. And we have certainly Ed Griffin's wonderful book. It's entitled The Creature from Jekyll Island, goes into the background of the Federal Reserve System. Certainly Professor Sutton's book, Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and then a little pamphlet called Fiat Money Inflation in France are all readily available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like, of course, to get our material, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day. You can actually simply read our newsletters. You can watch our DVDs. We post them there. It's all, certainly all, without cost. And we, of course, if you're out there and you're in a position to help us, Well, I would certainly appreciate from you. A lot of the people who've helped in the past have actually lost their jobs. And so, well, if you would like to step into the void and help them, well, I would love to hear from you. The book I mentioned by Mr. Walther is The Coming Battle, how the banks were going to take over control of our government. And they do. They control it through the Federal Reserve System, which is a privately owned central bank that runs our economy and that tells the president what to do. Of course, the people who control the Trilateral Federal Reserve come from the Trilateral Commission, three of the four chairmen of the Federal Reserve System prior to Ben Bernanke came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission, and that's where Mr. Geithner comes from. That's where James Jones, General James Jones, who heads security, that's where, of course, the Mr. Admiral Blair, who holds controls security. Call us at 1-800-544-8927 and please pray for Radio Liberty.